Hello, and thanks for taking the time to download this show from Burspaw. As you will hear very soon, we are back, this time hopefully for good. We're also venturing into the YouTube world for the very first time as we record our Zoom meetings for you to watch as well as listen. So if you want to see what's going on, search for the Burspaw Scottish Football Podcast on YouTube to see for yourself. Those videos are all taken from this very podcast, but will be released in smaller bite-sized segments focusing on one topic at a time. If you like what you see, please feel free to subscribe on YouTube and click the bell so that you don't miss out on any upcoming uploads. The podcast feed will be unaffected by our venture into video, although we are looking at potential new options to bring you further content in this period when everyone has so much time on their hands. Now, final note, you may notice that the quality of the audio isn't quite as good during this podcast as it is right now. That's just because we've taken it from Zoom. But we'll be working hard to try and make your experience even better in the coming weeks. So enjoy this show. It's a good one as we chat about fans' rights to season refunds, SPFL TV, how lower league players will be affected by this all, and finally, what we would change about Scottish football if we were given a blank canvas. Enjoy, and remember to check us out on YouTube. Burspaw is back. I've got three of my buddies here. We'll go around each of you one by one, just find out how you're getting on in these tough times. We'll start with you, Lewis Burrow, coming from your immaculate Motherwell room. You're a Motherwell fan and your room looks a bit like that as well.
I just had done the paint this afternoon and I heard I was coming on the podcast. That was it. Stuck on the Motherwell tracky top, but I was actually prepared to get a training top on anyway. But just thought I'd add a bit of claret and amber into this room.
How are you finding it without any football at the moment? We know that you love your football, getting out reporting at lower league games as well.
Aye, I'm missing a wee trip to the Annan. I like the Annan. Got the club into my heart. But that's all right. Obviously, it's not great. Nothing's really great in it. But I'm looking forward to it starting. The Bundesliga is not really doing it for me. It's all right to have someone, but it's not the same.
Aye, well, come on to all that. We're going to have a wee chat about the Bundesliga, what we all thought. But I think we all saw the games on Saturday. Obviously, bit of a weird situation, no fans, but we'll go on to that in a wee minute. KC, how are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Thanks for having us back on. Just as we were talking about there, I was actually a wee bit nervous about coming back. It feels like it's been ages since we've done a podcast, which it has been. Obviously, a lot longer than there's actually been football in the country and all. So, aye, but no, I'm all right. Things could be worse, I suppose.
Exactly. Gambo as well. How are you getting on?
I'm good, mate. Good, as we were saying before as well. Just working from home now for over 2 months, so just getting on with it. Good to be back on, but I know we've tried to organise this a few times in field, but I don't think anyone's got any excuses now. We've got plenty of time on our hands, so good to be back, lads.
Oh, I think we had a Saturday night planned for a bit of bevying one night and recording a bus bob, but it never happened. But we're kind of coming back a bit more business-like now during the middle of the week. Loads to chat about, obviously, no real football on the pitch for, I think, 2 and a bit months now, but there's certainly been loads happening off it. We're not going to go in-depth too much and kind of all of that stuff because me and Gamble will probably end up having a fight.
That's good to say, and the chaos.
I know. So we're going to keep it. I'm just going to have a bit of a chat about what we thought about the games on Saturday. I watched Dortmund. I lasted 28 minutes of Dortmund against Schalke and then I went back upstairs. It was just doing nothing for me. I get that Dortmund are a great team and the passing football is great to watch, but for me, if there's no fans there, it just, football loses so much. And I think I'd forgotten a bit about that because obviously we got a wee glimpse at Europa League, Champions League games, Italian games, and with no fans prior to that, and it wasn't great at all. But back then, we had other games we could turn on, whereas this was basically the only option we had, and it didn't do a great deal for me. I watched Bayern then on Sunday, and for some reason, I enjoyed that game a bit more. I don't know if it was just a better game, or maybe the fact it was in a smaller stadium, I didn't notice the no fans being there as much, but I'm going to take a bit of getting used to, I think, this lack of fans, but obviously, it's something we could see in Scotland sometime soon. What did you think of it, Burrow?
I be better yourself. It was good just to have some football on, but it wasn't really for me either. I do maintain it. I suppose in the grand scheme of things, compared to some of you boys, certainly, I do regard myself more as a Scottish football fan rather than just a kind of football fan in general. But I would probably rather watch a game in League Two than watch most of your top leagues in Europe, to be honest. But nevertheless, I do still kind of like foreign football and that, so I was excited to have it on. The game I probably enjoyed the most was the Dortmund-Schalke one, to be honest. I was the only one that I really sat through from start to finish. And then other ones caught me glimpses and that here or there. But as I say, I mean, the whole sort of no crowd thing, I know that there's actually a lot at stake when you're watching some of the best players in the world, but to me it did just kind of feel like a reserve match or a training match, you know, something you'd go and watch a Tuesday afternoon up at Airdrie or something. But mm-hmm. I think the thing is, when you go to watch that kind of thing here, it's like you're going to watch your reserve team or something, and it's players you're interested in more than it certainly was anyway. So it's good to have something on, good to have football on, good for a wee bet of that as well. But I'll be honest, if I didn't have a punt in some of the games, I'd be really bother with them as much. But no, I'll get another chance next weekend, but not the same. Bring back Annan v Stenny.
Aye, the thing we were getting told before was like, this is basically better than not having football at all. Do you agree, aye, Casey?
I mean, it's one of them. I mean, I'm no one to just repeat what Burrows just said, but I'm in basically complete agreement with him with that. I mean, I consider myself a Scottish football fan, and in my youth, I used to venture out a bit more to English football and even get a wee soft spot for a couple of Italian teams and all. But no, I've just not got that. I'm more interested in watching, as I said, like somebody like Aaron Athletic ever watching Bayern Munich, to be honest, the way things are now. But I just couldn't get myself up for it the weekend, to be honest. Hence why I only actually watched the highlights of the games, which were bad enough, never mind if you actually had to sit through 90 minutes of that. And I mean, it's one of them, it was good for a bet and stuff, obviously, a wee bit of excitement again, but it's just not the same. And obviously the argument you're making there saying, it's better having that than no football at all, to be honest, I don't even know if I agree with it. From my point of view, I didn't enjoy that. I know we'll come on to it, but I don't really want to see Scottish football get down the same route, but I have a feeling that might be the only alternative. But again, I know we'll come to that later on. So for me, the sooner the fans are back, the better, and it shows how important the fans are to the game.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that certainly kind of stood out for me, is that the fans, there is no football without fans, basically. I think we saw that at the weekend, even though the games did go ahead. But I mean, is there part of this gamble that we're just getting used to, and it's going to take a bit of getting used to, because you know, we're going to probably have, I don't know, basically all of next season with no fans, the way it's looking at the moment. So, you know, a few months down the line, maybe we'll just become accustomed to this.
Unfortunately, I think that's just going to be the case, isn't it? Like Casey says, I'm the same. I wouldn't want to see us do it. I think watching the slightly different to the boys here, I quite like to watch the German football, which made it probably even worse watching, especially Dortmund Schalke, which is obviously a derby. Dortmund Stadium, usually, like, everybody knows about the atmosphere they talk about in that place, and even just other gym, like Union Berlin, Bayern, that stadium as well, is always a great atmosphere, and it was quite depressing to watch. It actually felt weird. I think we're speaking about it in some of the group chats as well. It actually felt weird to think that they're actually playing for real points here, like this is an actual league game. So I think, unfortunately, if we're going to get football back anytime soon, then the situation just dictates that it's going to have to be without fans, unfortunately.
Aye, they were talking in Germany that they wanted to come back with a massive game, and obviously Dortmund Schalke is just about as big a game as they've got, other than probably Dortmund Bayern. But I think you probably notice with games like that that are built in the atmosphere, like, it becomes more noticeable maybe than it would with a normal game. As Spain's coming back, I think, in 3 weeks or something, and they're starting with a Seville derby, which is probably, you know, the biggest derby in that country in terms of atmosphere and all that. So, you know, it's a weird one, but I mean, we're probably going to head down this way, aren't we, Scottish football next season? If it does start at all, it's going to be with no fans. How do you feel about that, Burrow?
I would prefer it to come back with no fans, not to come back at all, to be honest. I think it poses yet another challenge, though. I mean, you know what Scottish football's like, they just don't handle anything well, really, at a kind of strategic level. So if it then wants the whole kind of question of if it need to, clubs need to arrange sort of like streaming services and all that so fans could see the games, because I know obviously the television will pick some up, but frankly, all fans of all 42 teams in the leagues will want to see their team play, and I think that's fair enough, because many of them are committed to season tickets and strips and all that sort of stuff. So I would prefer it over the season not coming back or coming back at a much delayed stage or something, but I think obviously I have vested interest in it, but we've also got to think about the teams in Europe as well. If they don't bring the league back for ages, what's to say that if they bring European football back at the normal time, then you know our team's going to get into it woefully unprepared. So I suppose they always do go in a wee bit underprepared because the season starts just after the first qualifiers. But no, I would like to see it back just on a normal schedule from the start of next season with any luck. Hopefully by that time we're maybe at a stage where they could get fans into the games in some capacity. But I do quite like the idea that they're talking about kind of making stadium hubs and stuff. I've seen some stuff about that in the papers about, I guess, the right kind of neutral stadiums in the middle of the land, so like McDermott Park and stuff. I've thought about bringing like six teams there and playing, like they all play a game or something and they all get a stand of fans and that sort of stuff, because it would kind of let fans get to see the games but ultimately less fans in a ground or something. I don't really get how they would manage it, but I do quite like the Sunday. Anything like that I'd be open to, just to get the football back with fans in it.
I mean, like, even European football next year, like Champions League, Celtic could make the Champions League, Rangers, even maybe Motherwell at a push could be in the Europa League group stage, and there'll be no fans there. It's totally bizarre, isn't it? But it's what we're going to have to get used to.
It's strange. It's that's the thing. Like, I know Burrow was saying there about some of the kind of ideas that have been getting bandied about, but it's like the kind of logistics of it all. Like who gets those tickets? Like, how does it work? I think, unfortunately, can I keep coming back to it? Like, what other way can we actually do it to get football back than it just having to be for the time being? Well, how long is that? Do you know what I mean? As well, like, is it until there's a vaccine and then who knows before we actually get to go to the games again? But like we usually did. So, it's strange times.
It's one of them, obviously, to what I said in my original point about how I just couldn't get into the German football whatsoever, hence why I don't really want to see Scottish football go down that road. But again, there doesn't ever seem to be another alternative for it. But given the fact that it would be your own team, as I think obviously Birrell made the point earlier on as well, about if you've got a reserve game, can you're away to watch your own reserves and stuff, so you've got to be more into it. So obviously if Scottish football was to come back under that capacity, no got to say I'm not going to watch it, because of course I will be and doing whatever I can to take in a game. And obviously, so I don't think that's, like, the point I made earlier, I don't think that's really totally fair, given the fact that I'm not really into German football anyway. But when this does come back, I mean, again, we kind of touched on it there with the TV companies, there's going to be an opportunity here as well for the clubs to bring in some money here as well, be signing off some kind of TV deal here. Fan TV or whatever subscriptions, because the fans will buy it. You know what I mean? Because you've got to go, you'll do anything you can to see your team. And if we're talking, I mean, I think it was Aberdeen's statement to our season ticket holders or something the other day. They said that when all this first came out, they were hopeful that you'd be playing in front of fans by September. But now they're saying it's got to be early 2021. And you're thinking, I mean, that's going to be the only way you can go. And you go to do that. And then, as I said, if they get some kind of TV deal or online subscription, everybody will pay it, and it's a way for the clubs to generate a bit of cash here.
Do you understand in this early season ticket sales? I think that one quite interesting, because you've got like Kilmarnock and Hamilton that came out now and said they're not selling season tickets. Next season will be pure to pay the gate, but then you've got some teams like Motherwell being one of them who are like wanting you to get buy a season ticket now. So it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think clubs are a wee bit split with knowing what to do at the moment, and obviously everyone else is struggling in this current situation financially. You know, unemployed rates are up, so it's a struggle for everyone, but you know, football clubs aren't exempt for that. And you know, we've seen even the biggest clubs in the country, Rangers, I think, giving out, you know, a voucher or whatever, like not exactly what fans would have wanted, but it just goes to show how, you know, they're struggling at the moment as well, like every club in the country will be. But I don't know how next season plays out, because I don't really see how clubs can, you know, sell season tickets when there aren't going to be fans at games, certainly for the first 6 months. I mean, what are we? We're at the end of May. We're basically in close season now. we know how, you know, short the close season is in Scotland. The Betfred Cup games, which are, I think, still scheduled to take place, start in, you know, is it the middle of July, which is 7-8 weeks, something like that, if that. So you're not going to have fans at these games. It's completely laughable to suggest that you will have. You're then going to go into the season. So I don't see how clubs can, you know, even be looking at the prospect of selling season tickets. I get that they've got to have some sort of revenue, and I think there's a possibility that without any intervention we'd see a lot of clubs go bust. I think that's a genuine possibility, but
yeah.
I don't see how, and it's always playing in the kind of, you know, the support fans give their club and that kind of undying passion and love that they give their club, that fans are continually asked to cough up so that the clubs don't go bust, and fans will do it, but at the end of the day, if you're paying money and you're not going to get to see a game, like, what's the point?
I mean, I can see 100% both sides to it. And I'm not trying to be like, the wee teams will know better. But in regards to, like say, me and Barrow, obviously I've been Kilmarnock and Motherwell supporters. I mean, we're not going to feel it. We'll feel it a lot more than the likes of Rangers or Celtic. Aye. Obviously, taking everything else out of the equation there, Rangers and Celtic are enormous football clubs. They've got fans back in there all the time, 50,000 season tickets getting sold. Whereas the likes of Kilmarnock and Motherwell are totally dependent on pay at the gate season tickets, and that's why, obviously, fair play to Kelly. I mean, obviously, they've come out and said that, but me personally, I mean, I would put something forward regardless whether we're getting anything back for it, you know what I mean? Because it's your football club. I mean, but the likes of Rangers and Celtic shouldn't really need to go down that route anyway, because they've got enough sponsorship and all the rest of it behind the scenes that are no dependent on fans having to cough up cash as much. And that's why I would be happy to do that. But having said that, I mean, obviously, maybe have a dig at some Kilmarnock supporters here, but I mean, we've got an initiative, Trust in Kerry, in order to get fan ownership on board following the lead of Motherwell and St Mirren here. And Motherwell and St Mirren have got, I think, double, treble the number of supporters that have signed up to it than what Kilmarnock have, which is embarrassing from a point of view. So that's why I'm saying, I mean, if we had the option to buy season tickets, while the fans step up or no, I don't know. Me personally, and again, this isn't an Uber fan thing or anything, but I pay for that Trust in Kerry. So it's my dad, you can pay whatever you can afford in order for the betterment of the football club. But a lot of people aren't doing that, so they got to do it and no get anything back in return, never mind fan ownership. So it's a tough one, but what I'm saying is, from my personal point of view, is that if it came out and Kilmarnock had some kind of initiative to back the football club here with some kind of finance or to buy shares or whatever, I think that they're offering to sell shares again, and I've inquired about that. So basically, from my point of view, I'm willing to do that.
Must admit, I'm a wee bit hesitant with it. I mean, I've not renewed my season ticket as of yet, right? Now, towards the end of last season, obviously, you missed about 5 games off the season ticket or something. Would never have expected or taken anything that the club were ever going to give you back for that. As you're saying yourself, Casey, you love the club, you know that they need that money, fair enough, would never look for it and back for it. It's circumstances nobody could have predicted. So that's fine. But I think, and don't get me wrong, if the club put out a kind of rallying call, kind of thing, as in, like, look, those who are going to renew their season ticket, we need the money, can you do it now? I would do it, absolutely. But at the moment, to be honest, I'm no jumping to do it right now. Not looking for anything back for last year's, no chance. But until there's just a wee bit more clarity or a wee bit of an end date just on when it is going to come back, I don't know that I would rush to do it exactly at the moment, because, I mean, you know, people, I'm not saying I've not, but there are people out there that are losing their jobs and stuff, and a lot of people have gone setting futures on their own. So I think, in a way, it's a wee bit, kind of, a wee bit rich just to, you know, all right, that's your season ticket for last year, done, and then, right, new year, you know, when you don't really know what's going to happen, you know, people have got to look after their money and stuff as well. But as I say, you love the club and all that, and if they do come and it turns out, right, we need this money now, absolutely do it. But I'm holding off a wee bit just to see what happens, I think.
I think the clarity point you make is a good one. I'm yet to see, I think a few smaller clubs have maybe done it, but I'm yet to see a top flight club come out and say, look, you know, not going into absolute details, but a rough estimate, basically, this is the money that we usually account for and get in for season tickets. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to work out how much a season ticket is and how many you sell on average a year. Work out, you know, the amount that you depend on, because I'd say for a lot of Scottish clubs it would maybe be something like a third of their yearly incomings, something like that, roughly. So I'd like to see a club come out and say, look, we're struggling for this, this is what we've put forward, and basically then put the ball into the supporters' court by telling them exactly what's happening. Because, you know, there's a lot of clubs out there that, you know, can probably get by. Certainly the larger clubs, Celtic and Rangers, can probably get by just by promising fans. Because, I mean, there's an extra pressure on those clubs. Fans, it's a different kind of pressure to the smaller clubs you were talking about, Casey. But the Celtic and Rangers fans, the pressure is that if they don't renew, they won't get a season ticket the following year. And especially with Celtic, with it being such a, and Rangers as well, such a big season next year, that's a different kind of pressure. But what I'd like to see is a club come out and say, this is our plan we're putting forward. And if that plan is even, you know, pay a season ticket and then further down the line, and maybe seasons 2, 3 and 4, we will then try and find a way to give you that money back, like £100 off the next 3 years or something like that, then that's at least a plan. And I think supporters would realise how difficult a situation this is for clubs, and they would probably cough up. But I think it's just the uncertainty of not knowing what happens if I pay this money and, you know, the club play no games at home next season, and I then just lost that money.
Aye. People on the mugs, you know.
Gamble.
Guys, that's because for me personally, anyway, like I've not renewed my season ticket yet. I think the deadline for it's end in June, which is obviously a lot later than what it would usually be, which is good. Same as Burrow, I'm just kind of, obviously personal circumstances as well, like can't really afford to be paying for a season ticket at the minute. But a bit more clarity on the whole subject as well. I mean, does your season ticket become your sort of pass for online streaming or something like that? But I think, I know obviously what Casey was saying about Aberdeen kind of coming out and the mention of no fans at games before kind of early next year. It's the first time we've really heard anything from like the actual kind of official channels of Scottish football about the reality that we've probably and a lot of other people have been talking about for long enough, that there's no chance fans are back at games for a long time. So maybe like the things you were saying, Hamish, maybe clubs kind of getting around, going to say getting around the table, but probably having Zoom calls or whatever to try and come up with some sort of plan to probably be a bit more upfront than they would ever usually be and say, look, the smaller clubs, obviously, I'm meaning here as well, that this is what we need the fans to help us out with, because obviously, as we've said, and as it's so obvious that the money coming through the gates is what keeps these clubs afloat. So maybe that's a kind of the Aberdeen, like them saying that about starting next year, maybe that's the first of us starting to probably talk a bit more pragmatically about the actual situation and being more upfront with the fans, I suppose.
Yeah, well, we'll have a chat then, because a couple of you have mentioned, I think it was you, Casey, about SPL or SPFL TV. obviously, that was pioneered years ago. I think it was like 2000, 2001, and never went through and whatnot. But is this the ideal opportunity for you to introduce something like that? Because for me, what a brilliant chance. I mean, we know how technology's come on. It's no longer a TV channel like it was back then. This would be an online thing. And for me, the opportunity, even if, you know, my team wasn't necessarily on the channel much, which would probably be the case, the opportunity to put money into a pot, even if it's an increased, you know, exaggerated amount a month, say £20-30, and I know it's got a chance of saving other football clubs lower down the pecking order in this country than it's something I'd before. And if I'm getting all of these games, you know, highlights of games and, you know, full match replays on a Tuesday afternoon of a game that was on the Saturday, then I'm all for that.
I mean, I'm 100%. I think that this, as I said, obviously to get back, I still want to see fans back ASAP, but doesn't look like that's going to happen. So this is, as you said, the perfect opportunity to really kick on and knock us into the 21st century a wee bit here with Scottish football, because I mean, there's, yeah, it's just kind of silly things, and I know obviously it's like you get arguments with Sky and BT here, but you're on like the on demand, say Sky on demand, you're going through the football, look at the wealthy Premier League options you've got there to watch. You've got all your Premier League years and kind of documentaries and stuff about all different eras and that. Brilliant. Scottish football, I mean, we've all had discussions about this, about trying to get Scottish football stuff for the archives. And I know I obviously got to take a while to build up, but you're talking that this could be a great chance to have that. And as you said, you've got fans of every single team in the country paying into this pot, and hopefully it all gets divided equally, but whether that will happen or not, we don't know. And as you said, it doesn't matter whether the likes of yourselves, Rangers and Celtic, are they likely got to be on it anyway, because they're going to be on Sky BT. But you've got to tune in and watch a Hibs at Home to Motherwell or whatever, you know what I mean? Because you've got access to it. And as I say, that's a chance to really kick on and really make something of it. And you've got to have, and it's got to be ours, like the fans have got to technically own that, you know what I mean? Well, our major shareholders in it. So, no, I'm all for it. And I think that they would be, to be, well, as we've found out in the last couple of months, I mean, nothing straightforward with these guys at the SPFL, but they'd be absolutely, they'd be fools not to go down this path.
Yeah,
and as well, so if you're not found as well, like, even over this lockdown period and that, when BBC Scotland been showing all these old matches, like you've got your old Celtic Rangers games, old cup finals and that, see the footage that you're seeing in these games that you've never seen before. I mean, I can only again speak about like the 1991 Scottish Cup final with Motherwell. Obviously, you're seeing all the original BBC footage. The club have put stuff out there, obviously their own cameras and that, which is fine, but you've seen it all 100 times. Whereas obviously the BBC have put it on, you're getting all their interviews with the players on the pitch, which they had access to at the time. You're seeing other scenes for the Bolton Top Bus Parade after it. Now, I've seen what I thought was different to see about this cup final just through the family and all that over time, but that was things I'd never seen before and things I loved seeing. And even when you watch some of the Celtic Rangers 9 in a row kind of games and all that, there's a lot of scenes that you don't see, and yet these are such like, momentous things that happen in Scottish football and such great things to see. So there is great content there, especially like older stuff that you can do documentaries and these sort of features on and all that. So if there's a channel of their own, rather than what we've got now, where you've got channels that are just interested in, you know, getting your old firm games, getting your Edinburgh Derbies, getting Celtic away on a Sunday afternoon, all that stuff. There's so much that could actually be done there, and there are people interested in it. I'm adamant on that.
Yeah, I mean, the footage is all there. We've found that out over the last couple of months. It's been probably been one of the positives of the many negatives of this whole thing. One of the positives has been that we've had all this footage and be able to kind of take a trip down memory lane. And I know some of it probably cost quite a lot to get a hold of, but you know, I was doing a wee bit of maths here just in my head, and it's probably maybe an optimistic figure, but if you were to get 100,000 folk to sign up to this, which around the world I would say is, you know, doable, paying maybe £10 a month, which again probably a bit more than maybe some folk would pay, but then you're looking at £1 million raised per month straight away. And I know there'd be costs of, you know, hiring presenters and filming live matches and all the kind of stuff we're talking about. Of course it would have costs, but if you're raising that amount of money and if it's going to save clubs, then, you know, I think that's doable. Obviously Sky will have something to say about it as well, because they're the exclusive rights holders of the league anyway. I think Premier have got the other two cup competitions, so obviously they could have something to say, and it might not even be possible now that they've agreed a TV deal. But if there's, you know, one time when TV contracts and stuff can be altered, then surely it's at the moment to save clubs down the pecking order.
Aye, definitely. The opportunity is there, as Casey said as well. Like, it'd be ridiculous if we didn't try to turn some sort of positive out of all this. The appetite's definitely going to be there from the fans as well. I know, obviously, a lot's all made about how much, like, by the population in this country, how many people go to football or watch football, support teams. So, it's got to be, obviously, I don't know if, like you say, the kind of the cost involved in it, would there be an opportunity for, like, or a gap there for more kind of fan-led content?
Because there's no shortage of that, is there? I mean, look at us and look at, like, all the other individual fans of clubs, the amount of podcasts there, and podcasts can easily, not easily, but they can put into video form. Like, there's fans out there who produce stuff. In terms of, you know, the virtual season tickets, I think one of you was talking about earlier, Burrow Hope, do you think that's doable? Could fans almost pay, you know, their season ticket, and you'd almost have, like, you get to see the games if the government allow it, but chances are you won't get to see the games, but we can let you watch them on, you know, the internet or whatever.
Aye, it certainly sounds a great idea, but I wouldn't like to see the absolute arse that our clubs would make to try to do that. You can just see that already, sitting there at 2:45 on a match day, trying to get in and it not happening. But especially,
it's a fair point, like, see Celtic TV. I'll say biggest club in Scotland, certainly richest club in Scotland, and Celtic TV is an absolute nightmare. Every match day, you go on their Twitter feed and there's, you know, fans moaning at how bad it is, and that's, as I say, one of the biggest clubs in the country.
a Wi-Fi as well. Why is it Celtic's probably the only stadium you go to in Scotland? The richest club, as you say, yet you kind of get a phone signal in the ground.
Hey, we're no bashing Celtic.
No,
maybe that's just the way end, I don't know.
I've got
a good
for a phone signal when you go to have a big run.
3G.
Aye, if you have it, 3G, aye. Genuine. Yeah. So, it's not kid. Think about it. You get 50,000 folk on the 4G. So, oh, if you drop your phone settings to 3G, it works.
Aye.
Yeah, genius. I've slipped onto the Bet365 in play using that 3G loophole a few times.
The mistake you've just made there, Casey, is you've just given the game away to anyone that's watching now.
Aye,
so.
So now if they're going to 3G and the 4G will be 3G.
imagine you're trying to go into one of the Ferries to Ireland websites and one of the grounds, Christy, they've no hope. Palmac or something. But no, I think idea, like to not be a sceptic about it sounds a great idea. The thing that Casey mentioned earlier about like the virtual season ticket being your pass to get in sounds absolutely brilliant, because it wouldn't be ideal, but while you're on lockdown and you're not at the house as much in that, if you know, on a Saturday afternoon, if you could still sit down to watch your team and kind of cheer them on through the telly, it would be the absolute highlight of your weekend still.
I was just thinking there, we could probably trust our clubs, top flight especially, to be able to handle this. And then I remembered Ross County accidentally deleted their website a couple of years ago. So, you know, that is what you're up against. But do you think it could work, Casey?
I do think that. But I mean, well, obviously, this is trying to get the right idea here, because obviously the virtual season ticket thing's obviously a good shout, absolutely. But in regards to the central pot here, broadcast all the games would 100% work, because obviously you're not relying on your XYZ dodgy media team to produce the goods here. Because I know obviously Kelly TV was brought in about a year ago now, just over a year ago, and there's been a lot of teething issues with that. But it's a hard thing to get up and running right away, you know what I mean? So obviously it's got a lot of pressure for clubs to producing nil to try to broadcast games to everybody. So I think when it comes to the virtual season ticket, it's only really got to work at your bigger clubs, I think. Most of the top flight should be all right. But to go back to the other point in regards to the kind of central broadcasting pot here, that's a certainty to work, and they've got to every avenue that they can get to get that going, because people have got to pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, it probably needs the bigger clubs, Celtic and Rangers, to take some sort of hit as well with this whole thing, because if you think about it, they are two channels, Rangers TV, Celtic TV, are decent money makers for both clubs, and if an SPFL TV was to develop, chances are that, you know, fans would probably choose between the two, and the clubs would maybe lose out on a lot of subscribers. So would they be willing to do that, Craig? And you as a Rangers fan, would you be willing to, you know, see your club maybe give up some of the money they'd make from that to save a lower club that you've probably never seen play?
In terms of if there was to be a kind of central broadcasting...
Aye, so I mean, if Rangers TV was to... I'm not saying they'd disband it, but, you know, if Rangers had to make a decision over... What do we go with here? Do we choose to back SPFL TV for the greater good of the game, so that we have teams like Annan and, you know, Stirling Albion still going in 6 months' time, or are we in it for ourselves because this is a moneymaker? I mean, do you feel that, you know, Celtic and Rangers will have to almost maybe give up money to save clubs going out of business?
Aye. I think it's got to be. I mean, as we've already said, that Rangers and Celtic especially will probably be a lot better off in this whole situation than pretty much every other club. I think it should, yeah, we can kind of joke about it all we want, but at the end of the day, the most important thing here is that when we do get back to going to football again and going to games, that there's going to be that every club that was there before this all happened is still there. So if that was something that had to happen, I mean, I think most of your decent fans, you couldn't really, it would be, I can't see why they would choose not to support the Rangers and Celtic, maybe, helping out.
see, on that gamble, obviously, I don't want to get into all the issues here, but see, well, obviously, the recent events, obviously, seeing that Ken, obviously, you kind of get everybody talking for the support, but in regards to Rangers, like, with the way that this has all been, I can't, we don't got to get too much into that, but about obviously the way the votes have went and stuff, but the Rangers fans would do that if it is at the risk of other clubs, given the fact that they maybe feel hard done by with the recent votes or whatever.
I know
you're saying that a grudge would be held, Casey. Aye, exactly. But the matter at Celtic here, that's a good opportunity to see if Celtic are the socialist club that they claim to be here, be distributing fear about, but worth that one. But no, in honestly, when a serious one, I'm interested again because I know obviously Gambo, I'm not just saying this you're here, but you obviously are, you're a level headed guy, you know what I mean? Like you've got it as you see it and you're not blinded by stuff like that. But do you think that the rest of the support will do that? Again, you can't speak for the full support, but
as you say, you can't speak for the support as a whole, can't speak for individual fans as well, but I think it would be daft for me to sit here and say that every fan would do that, every Rangers fan, every Celtic fan even. I mean, we're all on Twitter. We all see how how mental Scottish football Twitter can be at times. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, it would need to be something that would be sorted out and we'd try and work through it. But I think, as we're saying, any kind of decent fan you'd want to see us get through this whole situation with as best as we can, coming out the other end of it and as close to the same kind of form as we came into it. So there's your politician's answer, Casey.
Very good.
Very well answered.
But we're obviously sitting here chatting about this kind of stuff because we care about it and, you know, we want to make a podcast and talk about what's going to happen. But do you think at Hampden they're, you know, pondering all this kind of stuff of how to, you know, make money next season and what's going to be probably the hardest season ever for the majority, if not all the clubs in Scottish football? They've obviously got a media working group, or whether multimedia or whatever it's called, broadcasting working group at the moment with, you know, some of the best and biggest names from the various clubs. Do you think they're talking about this kind of stuff, Burrow? Do you think like SPFL TV has been mentioned at all?
I don't think, to be honest. I most of us have our suspicions about how the SFA is really running on that. I think at the moment they'll probably still be in the kind of firefighting mode. Like, I know that they just ended the season and stuff the other day, but I think their thoughts will still just be kind of on all that sort of stuff and just appeasing clubs and that. Now, I don't know. I have no clue at all, but I struggle to think that they're actually sitting entertaining the idea of an SPFL TV and that. Now, it sounds too good a solution for them to actually sit and discuss, you know. I would imagine they'll currently be in discussion, maybe trying to, fend off like Sky and BT for last year, saying, oh, well, we'll never get this old firm, never get that Edinburgh derby, what are you going to do about it? I would imagine they'll have stuff like that to deal with, probably have PFA stuff to deal with, because I know that the release lists and all that are coming out this week for the clubs, so they'll be looking at a lot of clubs that are trimming their squad and that, so they'll probably be dealing a lot with what they're going to do with players that might need to move into other sort of professions and all that sort of thing. So, I wouldn't think it'd be high up their agenda now, the phone lever.
But no, in a separate issue, what are we thinking about the situation with players now? Because from my own point of view, I've had discussions with folk and I thought there was going to be some kind of agreement that the players, their contracts were going to be automatically extended, you know, because obviously everybody knows the nature of the current game, one-year deals can happen in Scotland. That tends to be, if you get any more than a one-year deal, then you're laughing. So I thought players' contracts were automatically going to get extended, but that's not the case. And I mean, obviously, I think Burrow touched on it before and other stuff that we've done that obviously players will maybe need to work at other professions. That's a real possibility here. And players, if they're not playing for this period of time, are maybe thinking about chucking it anyway because they can't even keep themselves fit properly now because they don't know what they're getting fit for. You know what I mean? Players out of contract, what's the point? They don't know what the future's got to hold for them. They don't know when they'll be back playing. They've got to be unattached in the next couple of weeks. Why should they keep fit? Who are they keeping themselves fit for? Whereas they can realistically be kicking on a bit and actually seriously looking for another job. Obviously, this is something that's maybe more so got to be happening kind of championship level down the way, but I was just interested to hear what the rest of you thought about that.
It's something that's kind of almost with all the kind of everything that's happened in Scottish football anyway since lockdown came in, that it's just been forgotten about. The fact that a huge portion of the players in Scottish football that will be a proper worry for them. But I was the same as you. I thought that there was something maybe in place that they couldn't just be, I suppose, almost made, not made redundant, but they just be out of a job. You would hope that that would be the case, but then I suppose I know there was talk as well that it was as much to do with the whole financial thing, clubs voting to end the season, as it was to maybe so that they can start trying to work out what to do with on that side of things, with players' contracts. But it's something that, as I say, you probably, it hasn't been spoke about enough, really, the fact that a lot of these guys are now looking at being out of a job, and who's to, how do they know? Like you say, how do they know? Wait, like, who are they training for? Like, what do they do? Can I think?
It's exactly, Gambo, and it's one of them. I know before, you're obviously got to get cynical viewers. They'll be, oh, they're football players getting the stub money, but you don't make big money in the bloody Scotland kit. I mean, unless you're at one of the big two here, particularly see if you're talking Championship, League One, League Two level, these guys are on a couple hundred quid a week, man, which is all right. You paid a couple hundred pounds to play football, man, but that's your job. You only making that money for 10, 15 years, you know what I mean? This is going to be discussed more, and as I say, I do just feel for a lot of players, and a lot of folk are in no man's land now. I mean, they don't know what's going to happen, and it's the same with Delos, but I honestly think that the PFA should be protecting the players here, and they should be fighting for an automatic extension here, but apparently that's not the case, which I think is severely worrying for players at the kind of lower levels.
Sportsmen and athletes in general are a wee bit kind of left behind, but that sort of stuff, you know, people, the authorities never really seem to realise that they've got to make provisions for these people, the same as they need to do everything else, might be losing jobs and that. You can only hope that a lot of them, I know that a lot of them are encouraging that, to try and have something to fall back on if they get an injury or football doesn't work out, or you know, we can sometimes happen that way, if they maybe just choose their own move or two before you know it, they filter down the leagues that part time and then they're out the game or whatever. So, I mean, you can only hope that some of them have got other stuff and they go in that. And then the whole sort of not training aspect, like where I live, you do see some sort of footballers running about in that, and they are running a lot and cycling and stuff. I was speaking to wee Dom Thomas one the other week, I know, Casey. He was saying, he's like gutty because he's such a live wire, a boy, you know, and he's just going out running, cycling, trying to mix it up and all that. But I think he's like really missing the whole aspect of like working as a team and doing fitba drills, you know. It's all about the actual fitba for him rather than the fitness side of it, I think. So I think they're struggling, aren't they?
No, absolutely.
I'm not wanting to go all like serious with this, but you know, in a time when we're talking about mental health more than ever, and players that absolutely love to play football, if they're going for that to not being able to kick a ball at all, effectively retiring for however long it is until we play again. On top of that, they're not even getting to train with our teammates. They don't even get to see their teammates. I know it's a way down the list of things we're talking about because there's so many major issues about clubs even surviving. But you've got to ask whether players are going to be able to survive. And, you know, in Scotland, it's such a difficult country because there's such a gap between, you know, the top teams and the teams right at the bottom. And it's epitomised by the Championship. I mean, next year you're going to have Hearts, probably the third biggest team in the country, probably not far off the third biggest wage payers in the country, all the way down to Alloa team part-time that will probably, in all likelihood, if you know there's football with no fans next year, if there's no football next year, we'll have to basically release all their players, and there's no way they'd probably be able to survive by playing all their wages if they've got no income coming in from football next year. So how do you like police that? Do you say that's fine for Alloa to do that, but then you're going to have Hearts raging saying, who do we play against next year? Because I'm assuming Hearts, with the infrastructure at that club, would be able to continue as long as their football's allowed. They'd be able to find a way for their supporters to know back them and to keep going. So I just find it all like so confusing. I think you're right, Casey. Like, we forget about the footballers at the end of it all. We think about the clubs, we think about the fans, but we forget about the footballers.
Especially as you say, Casey. Especially to say it with like Celtic Rangers, where I mean, your Hearts and Hibs, yeah, Aberdeen, the United players and all that are earning pretty good money, as are most players in the top flight. Like for us sitting here, you think, why they're earning a good wage, but they're not earning the kind of wage where you can just sit there, right, I said, stop, you go and sit there. learning it now, you know, they still need something to come in. But as I have said all along, I do feel sorry for these guys, but you feel sorry for the likes of people who are playing for like Albion Rovers and stuff as well, who maybe, I mean, some of the guys doing that kind of level, they're working as like football coaches and stuff, doing that a few nights a week, then like topping that up with like the money for like playing League Two and stuff, and you do feel sorry for them as well, because it's our livelihood's just been snapped away like that, you know.
Is there a funny case here? Not, it's not funny in any way, but you know, a strange case that it's almost the players who are part-time might get away with it more than the players who are full-time, but obviously not at the level where they could, or they are at the level where they could get released. Because obviously, as you say, players like Albion Rovers, and I know some of them, it's more a case of topping their wage up from playing football, but for a lot of them, or majority of them, they will have other jobs as well. And at least, if the worst comes to the worst, they'll get some sort of income. But if you're talking players like, the top of my head, Falkirk, Dunfermline, teams like that are full time and don't have another job but could probably be released, then they're kind of no man's land.
No, absolutely, Hamish. I mean, you're looking at these guys who are of Kent as football, you know what I mean? If they've come into school, they've been lucky enough to have a career up to this stage in it, but now they're realistically looking at the fact, well, they've not got a contract for the next season, so Who's got to take them? Who's got to sign somebody they know anyway out of goodwill when you don't even know when football's got to be back? Aye. So it's these players that I really do feel for. And again, I know that you've got to get football players, but you're like, no, these aren't the folk making 200-300 grand a week, not even a year. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, oh, not even a year is if that's not a lot of money, but you're like, these guys are making nothing, man. They're making what we would maybe make having a decent and this is only them for 10, 15 years of your life if you're lucky, never mind what goes on after that. So no, I really do feel the worst, and I think you've got to see that. And when I meant about motivation to train, I can see obviously Birrell talked about Dom Thomas, but as far as I'm aware, Thomas on a contract next year for us. Aye. So he's still got something to get back to, but I'm more meaning boys that are out of contract and they're thinking, well, where do I go for here? Am I even going to get a club next year? Who am I training for? Like it's, and Ken, whereas they could be keeping themselves fit and all the rest of the eye, but realistically, they could be wasting valuable time for having to look for another career path here. So it's a total mess. And I'm just fortunate that I'm in a lucky enough position now that I still get my income, I've got both my jobs now, whereas realistically, a lot of people, I mean, it's just done them. Get what I mean? Self-employed, whatever. But when it comes to football players, I really do feel bad for them as well, because they're an easy target. Don't forget that, they're an easy target.
Right, guys, so we're obviously at a stage at the moment where there's no football happening. It's a bit of a gap before anything comes back. I've give you the opportunity now to shape the future of Scottish football. Anything, I know it's a big chance, isn't it? Anything you want to change about football? If I rephrase the question, anything you don't like about the way we do football in this country at the moment? Anything at all, Gamble? What are you going for? Which top of your list? I know I've put you in the spot.
what do I want to see change in Scottish football?
So I mean, you could have. Do you like kick-off times? Do you, you know, the whole kind of governance of the game in terms of the fact that, you know, the big clubs dominate so much of Scottish football, TV deals, sponsorship, playoffs, is there anything you feel could work better?
I think the governance point is probably something we could, that conversation, we could probably get another pod out of that alone. But I think something that the big clubs having, the bigger clubs having as much of as powerful a say as they do, which is obviously being a hot topic just now because of the whole reconstruction talks breaking down. I'm actually all for it, the reconstruction. I really thought that I get the point that what the kind of the reasoning behind the talks breaking down is because of the stuff that we've already been discussing. It's clubs are maybe firefighting a lot just now, dealing with bigger issues. At the end of the day, they are. Everybody is. But, I mean, is there going to be another time where we get a chance to kind of sit down and try and talk through reconstruction? And so, I mean, how long has that been since we've had the 12-team top divisions?
98, I think.
Was it? Yeah. And then we've had the split at the end of the season since, I don't know, maybe not right away, but not long after that. You just like to see us maybe do something different, take the opportunity to reconstruct the league, make the pyramid a bit more, a bit fairer, I suppose. I don't know. There is an opportunity here for us to do something, like we were saying, obviously, the SPFL TV, the reconstruction. I don't know. I think this week they've said it's maybe back on the table now, or is it
possibly
even? I don't know.
I think Anne Budge has mentioned that, but I think she's been told to keep her trap shut, basically. But I don't know if anything will come with that. Without meaning to sound like, you know, a few folk in the past, do we have too many clubs in this country, Burrow? Is this the ideal chance? And I don't want to, you know, write gravestones for some of the smaller clubs in the country. We've already done that in this show, but is there a chance for, I don't really believe this should happen, but should there maybe be fewer clubs in this country? And, you know, do you think that would make sense to maybe merge? I'm not talking about merging Hearts and Hibs or Dundee United, but like the Angus teams, for example, and stuff like that. Or am I just being completely daft? To be honest, I don't even believe that. I'm just putting a point out there.
I think you're right in what you say. That for the size of the country that we have, there are far too many teams. And the simple answer would be, you want to merge them and all that. I mean, see when you actually look at it, you mentioned there, Angus, to have like Montrose, Arbroath, and then you have Fife teams as well, to have like Raith Rovers, East Fife, Stenny and all that, all so near each other. It is ludicrous. Albion Rovers and Airdrie, I mean, that's mental as well.
But I'm
a believer as well, like you, that you just can't do it, and nor should you, because these clubs now have been about for so long. They've got followings, very, very devoted followings, who give a lot to the club as well in a sort of volunteering capacity. All these clubs have a history and have a tradition now, and they're important to the Scottish game, and it's things like that, it's wee things like that, I think, that make the Scottish game what it is, that gives it its wee sort of niche. And a lot of these, I think if you were to go and watch an Airdrie versus Albion Rovers derby, yeah, two teams, two bordering towns in Lanarkshire, probably don't need them all in an ideal world sort of thing. But if you go and watch an Airdrie versus Albion Rovers derby, it's brilliant, you know, very, very feisty match. Merging these teams, I don't really know as much about Angus Way and Fife and stuff like that. I don't really know what the kind of culture and society and that's like up there. But Albion Rovers, a big kind of traditional, a big kind of Celtic town. Airdrie's a big kind of Rangers town. I know I know what it's about because they're a separate team. There's just no way you ever merge the two of them together. No way. Nor should you. So I'm a firm believer that we need to look after these clubs. But I do always kind of fear in a way because just kind of covering games and that. I've got a soft spot for Albion Rovers as well, quite close to my house as well. So, and you do fear when you see the money getting spent in the World League. You see players like Nathan Austin buying, what is it, 40 odd goals and stuff for Kelty Hearts, BSC Glasgow, or the Highland teams getting strong as well. And these teams, if they can get into the pyramid, are biting the bit. And to be frank, I think they're better than some of the League Two teams down the bottom, which is a worry though, because I mean, when you've seen with Berwick, what's happened to them since they've fallen into lower. They were a team that were at one point quite high on League Two for a few years, you know, they were always up about playoffs and stuff. So, you want to protect these teams because they've got such a rich part in the kind of Scottish football history, and I'm quite passionate about that myself. But at the same time, I think they do need to encourage that there's well backed teams and teams with good potential to move up into League One Championship and the lower league. So, I wouldn't mind seeing League One and League Two made to at least 12 team leagues, to be honest, to try and accommodate as much into the pyramid as we can. Having said that, I'm a fan of the move that they made a few weeks ago there, the West of Scotland League, but they've kind of made the pyramid a bit bigger. They've taken away this traditional sort of junior setup on the Western Scotland Premiership and all that, and they've now kind of made it into sort of three leagues, which also felt was nice, like in the Lowland League and stuff. So that lets ambitious junior teams like St Rocks and stuff like that, that have got a lot of backing and a lot of money and stuff, to move up into leagues as well. So I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of encouraging the near teams to grow and protecting the ones that we have that have been given so much history to the game.
Yeah. What would you change, Casey, if you had a kind of blank canvas?
Obviously, there's a couple of things that come to mind. Obviously, I mean, reconstruction, for a start, I've always been an advocate of that. But the issue with the recent one is, it was for the short term, realistically, just to kind of protect Hearts from going down and not to punish these teams for the league finishing as it is. Whereas if it was actually a long-term solution and it was guaranteed to stay for that period of time, then I would support it. But I said, like, the kind of argument was that There's no point in Kilmarnock voting for league reconstruction to save Hearts for a year for us to get back to the 12 team league further down the line, or two or three teams that relegate it and back up to what we were. So no point in that. But a big thing that that I think would be cool, it's more to do with the kind of TV side again. And me and Hamish have spoken about this before, and we've kind of seen a glimpse of it this year with the Scottish Cup kickoff times. Saturday night football for Scottish football, I think would be absolutely brilliant. Proper game for it. You're talking, like, so obviously, Ken, we're at home to, I don't know, Ross County or something, Ken, Blake, 3 o'clock kick off Rugby Park. Then after it, not to sound like a dad, living for the weekend and that, but straight after it, you've got the problem. And then watching Hearts Aberdeen at Tynecastle, 5 o'clock kicker. How good would that be? Like, I think that would be. Like, I love that. We had a 5 o'clock kickoff against Rangers. In the cup, nothing each at home. That was weird, man. It was obviously the game wasn't brilliant. It was kind of Rangers game for that period. Very kind of tight, but I think that'd be excellent. But it has to be the right grounds, you know. You don't want to just do it for the sake of it. Again, obviously, it's made. Mere games shown on TV maybe affects the crowds, but I do think that would be good, and it'd be something to welcome, and I really enjoyed it in the Scottish Cup they've been doing it for the last couple of years.
I mean, even if you moved the half 12 Saturday kickoff, that's basically every week, to half 5 on a Saturday, that'd be a massive change for me. Just much better appeal. And it's not as if I think they've spoken in the past about they don't want to have a game going right up against an English game, but that's the case at half 12 anyway. I mean, English games are on pretty much every day in the week now, or they were when football was happening. So, I've been, you know, a massive fan. I've even, you know, the Scottish Cup games they had on at 7:20 and stuff like that. It's even doable. Like, why is a 7:45 on a Saturday night not achievable? But again, you have to pick the games. You don't obviously want a Celtic Rangers match at that time because police aren't going to allow it. But other than that, how many games are the police really going to stop happening? I mean, they maybe wouldn't want Aberdeen Rangers or Hearts Celtic or an Edinburgh Derby, but you could easily have, you know, maybe even one of your 3 o'clock games on at 7:30 at night or whatever, or 5:30 as we said. I mean, I just think that'd be so much better. More folk would probably watch it because they'd be in the pub anyway, and I just think our game would have more folk talking about it, because I just feel at the moment that half 12 kickoff almost misses some folk by a lot of the time, because folk are, you know, in the house or whatever, whereas I think if they were out and they were almost forced to watch a Scottish game, and obviously there'd be a big debate over what pubs would have on, and knowing some like daft pubs in Glasgow would have on like the English game, and they do that, they have the English game on ahead of the Scottish game, which drives me mad, but that's what folk want to watch. But I think there's an opportunity there if we did have a blank canvas, and obviously the kickoff times haven't come out yet for the new Sky deal, but I'd love them to be thinking outside the box. They've even had like 4 o'clock kickoffs on Sunday in the past rather than 12:30 and stuff. I think they were after Europa League games and that, and for me that's even a bit better, and it's just a bit different, because those like 12:30 Saturday, 12:30 Sunday kickoffs, just we're so bored of them now. Like, I just want something fresh.
100%. I mean, 12:30 is just, it's a vile kickoff thing. It's nobody really enjoys it. I mean, particularly games, I just remember being a wee boy, you got to them, and like obviously Rangers and Celtic, and you were coming out, and then just when you're a wee guy, you're like, what else is there to do? Because it used to be time brilliant. You would obviously go, you'd be back out of the house for 5 o'clock, you'd maybe watch an air game, and then before you can, you watch match of the day, man. But half 12 kick off, it's horrible. It's obviously different when you're older. I'm just talking from personal experience. I know everybody will share that experience, but it's just half 12 kick offs are brutal, and obviously 12 o'clock and all. I'm all for 3 o'clock. Primarily, as you all like to see 3 o'clock games on a Saturday, and then a wee 5 o'clock kick-off every other week on a Saturday night would be brilliant.
Probably a half 12 kick-offs and that as well. I know it's not a big thing at all, but see, in terms of like going to a game or that, you can't do it now for a bit at that time, but at least 3 o'clock, right, you can up in the morning, and like, you can do something early afternoon, that you can do something, you can go to the game, you're back, you're out, or you have your dinner, whatever, that's you, but I kind of have to feel like you're up at your bed, you're ready, you're about to the game, but the time you're back in reality, it's kind of late afternoon, it's like that's all you can do. And that day then is going to fit up, which again will probably put folk off going, isn't it good?
Alcohol is a big one for me as well. Gamble, do you think we're at a stage now where we could have alcohol introduced back in Scottish football? Again, if there's ever a perfect time to do it, it's surely after, you know, a 6 month gap and almost go into it afresh. Have plenty of time to work out a plan of action. We've got time in our hands, and for me, we've got to use it with stuff like that.
Aye, definitely. I mean, I'd love to see it come back. It's such an opportunity for clubs in terms of extra revenue as well, isn't it? If and more fans would go to the games, I reckon. As well.
Yeah, 100%.
But plain and simple, obviously more money going into the clubs. It would need to be, it would need to be sorted out. But it's got to be. I mean, surely we're ready to kind of move on. I know, obviously. I think there was a lot of talk about it before the 2016 Scottish Cup final, which we'll not go into. And then it all kind of went quiet. But, I mean, surely you can't just point a couple of examples and say, oh, that's how we kind of have it. And sort something out. Because, yeah, it's an extra revenue for the clubs. It bring more fans through the gates as well. And surely we're ready 2020 to kind of bring the Scottish team right up to date.
Anything else, guys? Anything else? I'm giving you an opportunity here to change the fortunes of Scottish
football.
Some
question, isn't it?
I know. But let us know if anyone kind of watching this on our new YouTube platform, or obviously you got us on Twitter and Facebook, and we're at Burstball Podcast, I think, on Twitter. You can tweet us if you've got any suggestions. And also, if you're on YouTube, you can comment below with any suggestions you want to change in. Campbell?
What's it? I was just going to say the Premier Sports League and the kind of Scottish Cup, the new kickoff times, I've been impressed with that. So.
Yeah. Thinking outside the box, isn't it?
Aye, it's something different. That's
it's
plain and simple. It's something different for the usual. Like we're saying about the half 12 kickoffs. Like we've had a couple of times Rangers have been away to Ross County, half 12 on a Sunday. I mean, see, you're going to the game, man. That's like you're up at 5 in the morning or something, and then you're
shattered by the time you're even there.
What's that?
You're shattered by the time you're even at the game.
Exactly. So there's got to be changing the kickoff times. As Casey says, the half 5, that's a brilliant. Like if there's football on, you're going to the pub, whatever game it is, you're going to watch it, isn't it? So, there's a chance to do something different anyway, in so many ways.